back in your feeds. Yes, indeed. And my word, has there ever been a need for coffee, caffeine-related drinks and beverages? Because my, oh my, are we fresh off of the busiest weekend of the wrestling calendar. Not one, two, three, but four big important shows, three of which we're going to be talking about on this here episode of the Wrestling Podcast. That's wrestling spelled W-R-S-T-L-I-N-G. It's all of the graps without the E. But you know the deal by now. Me and G, we're not Auntie E. No, we're simply pro wrestling. Yes, yes. So my name is Liam. This man is Gareth.
Hey.
And you, my friends, are on the Inside the Ropes podcast network. So thank you very much for lending us your time. Hope you stick around for a while and enjoy the chats. We've got a lot coming up. We're talking about New Japan's Best of the Super Juniors and World Tag League Final, the Super J Cup, and also Triple A's Triple Mania. Why did it go Scottish? Triple A's Triple Mania card as well.
Too much time with the Scottish contingent of ITR.
You're not wrong there. And that's not all. Now, I know that's all that we promised you last week, but you know, sometimes in this game, it's best to promise low and over-deliver, and that's exactly what we've done because we have an exclusive interview with a man who is not human, but he is one of the biggest names in Ring of Honor, PCO. Yes, that's right. We got a whole interview with PCO at the back end of the show, so stick around with that. G-Money, let's get into this thing. Where do you want to start, my man? Should we go New Japan?
Yeah, let's head over to Japan.
Okay, right. Well, I've hogged it for 3 minutes 45, so you're on.
Okay, so obviously, as you well know, we had the culmination of the Best of Super Junior and World Tag League tournaments, culminating here with 2 big final matches. We had Hiromu Takahashi taking on El Desperado in the final of the Best Super Juniors, and the Guerrillas of Destiny taking on returning champions Finjuice for the World Tag League. Really good show, I thought. With this one, I think we've talked about it a little bit before on the show. Quite often, I will break up my viewing if I'm not doing it live, and I didn't watch this one live. But for me, the show just flowed really nicely. Once I started it, I didn't want to stop. I watched it straight through, which, you know, I think is, for me right now, is a really, really good sign that this is a strong show.
Yeah.
Probably one of my favourite New Japan shows of the year, I would say.
Yep, I concur entirely. And it's funny because looking at the card on paper, shy of the top 2 matches, I wasn't particularly excited about this. I mean, sure, it was going to be decent, but there was nothing that really stood out, perhaps aside from the Empire 6-man tag. But actually, the whole card was great, and I thought as a show it did a really fantastic job of setting matches up for Wrestle Kingdom and getting the juices pumping.
Definitely. I think, like us, this New Japan show underpromised and over-delivered. Yeah. The Empire 6-man was a lot of fun. Got me pumped for both the Tanahashi and Great Okada match and the Osprey Okada match.
I'm really pumped for both of those matches. Great spot for Great Okada. And the Tana storyline is really interesting, and you know, I think that one will rumble on past Wrestle Kingdom. Perhaps it's really exciting, and then, oh man, Osprey vs Okada in a Wrestle Kingdom quality match. I mean, Jesus Christ, it's over before it's begun, isn't it? That's going to be absolute chaos. Excuse the pun.
So yeah, there's a lot to look forward to there. I think Cobb challenging for the Never Openweight title, that's going to be a goodie as well against Shingo. Is going to be a banger. I'm absolutely certain. To great, great talents there. And the Sanada and Shingo taking on Evil and Takahashi match did something which I wasn't sure was going to be possible. They made me interested in another match between Sanada and Evil.
I know.
Like, I think just by Sanada just going a bit ham, you know, that kind of cold skull mask slipped a little bit. He showed some emotion, which is, I think, what New Japan fans, or certainly, you know, we've been crying out for a little while, just
Definitely.
For him to kind of emote a little bit more. And I think that finally happened here. So yeah, I'm ready for that, and I'm kind of hoping, I don't know if I know the match has been announced, but I'd really like to see that with some kind of stipulation, some kind of gimmick attached to it.
Yeah.
That remains to be seen whether that happens, but some kind of gimmick attached to that I think would be good. Any suggestions?
Yeah, how about they both bring their entrance gimmick of choice and they can use that? So Sanada has the mask with the horns and Evil has the staff. And
yeah, it brings the scythe back.
The scythe, excuse me. Yeah, just let them go for it with that. I think that'd be great. I like the idea of Sonata chasing around like an unhinged antelope. I think that's going
to
be fun.
How about Sonata tagging with Milano Collection AT to Milano can get his revenge for Evil breaking his heart?
It would just be, that's just unfair. You can't have both of those guys together. So yeah, I thought it did a really good job of building things up, this card. But the top two matches were both of a very high quality, I would say.
Definitely.
Mm. Let's talk about the World Tag League final first. This, for me, massively over-delivered. I thought this was a really good match. So just to set the table, I like the team of Finjuice. I don't necessarily love the name. For me, the constituents of this tandem have done something of a swapsie. I was probably always more pro-Juice and struggled a bit with David Finley, but I feel like Finley's really found himself this year, oddly. The gear's more on point. I don't know, he's more believable now. And I thought that pulled through here, whereas Juice with this whole Blues Brothers thing, look, I think Juice is a clever man, and pretty much everything costume-wise he's done thus far has been geared towards a Japanese audience, and that's fair enough. He's wrestling in Japan. But this one is a bit of a struggle for me thus far, but I still enjoy him as a wrestler. On the flip side, G.O.D., a fantastic tag team and really should be in the conversation for best tag team in the world. And I think they would be if they weren't in such a shallow division.
Yeah, I think it's tough when you haven't got like a lot of really high caliber other teams to play off of.
Let's talk about Tama Tonga.
What a beautiful man. Who knew?
So he's kind of done away with the slightly Roman Reigns-esque hair, and now what we have is a real sort of chiseled, handsome young man, but still a bad boy, still a bad man, and just the coolest entrance in the world. Just all that stuff, you know, all that stuff he does with his hands beforehand. I do that sometimes when I'm at the supermarket. I just want to see if I can put people off, you know, get them to move out of my way and socially distance, for goodness sake.
Walking around saying nobody's realer than Liam.
I do that a little bit too. Yeah, a little bit, yeah. I just think he emits cool, and that translates into his wrestling, because he, in a profession where it's almost impossible to do so, he's managed to make himself truly unique. Like all of the elusive stuff he does, he's become wrestling's answer to Lyoto Machida from the UFC. You know, nobody else does that stuff. I love how the announcers describe him as a defensive wrestler. That's not something you ever hear. So I suppose part of it are the labels that have been attributed to him. But I just think he brings something very different to the table.
Absolutely. Yeah, I'd love to see him, you know, the team as a whole, have some more top tier tag teams to face. I mean, even previously when we've had like Evil and Sonata as a team, and you know, you've had some other fairly established heavyweight teams. It's just been them going round and round in circles to the point where you're just kind of like, oh, I just don't want to see these teams face off ever again.
Yeah, no, it's true. And you know, if the expansion of this whole Kenny Omega storyline does eventually lead to the Forbidden Door being unlocked, you could just imagine what G.O.D. could do with some of the tag teams available in both Impact and AEW. You know,
absolutely,
very promising indeed.
It would be such a benefit, even if the main thing were, yeah, some of the top talent got shared around, but you could have the divisions that were weaker in one is bolstered by talent from another one of the companies.
Yeah, definitely, definitely. And then, you know, with New Japan, the tag team division definitely is their weak link, you'd have to say.
Definitely, you know, and there's some really great junior heavyweights that I would love to see get a shot in New Japan as well, just because it does seem like a little bit
stale,
thin on the ground, yeah, the junior division at the moment.
Yeah, without wishing to be controversial, I think you could make the argument that the travel restrictions that have been in place this year have perhaps exposed a slight staleness in the New Japan roster overall, and how vital those imports were in keeping the product moving, keeping the wheels turning, keeping it fresh. So hopefully we see that move on. I mean, we are starting to see people go back out there now, which is great. Good to see Robbie Eagles out there doing his thing. He's a very talented dude. I think he'll do big things there.
Definitely.
But yeah, anyway, back to this tag team match. Yeah, what did you think?
So this was a rerun of match one of the World Tag League. You know, they faced off the first night of the tournament, and we ended up with the opposite result here.
Yeah, I thought it was really good stuff. And yes, okay, there was the standard Bullet Club interference, which I think is perhaps wearing thin on a lot of people at the second, and I understand that. But I didn't find it egregious here. Nice to see Kenta as a bit of a surprise.
Mm-hmm.
So, good for the Gorillas of Destiny. They break their World Tag League duck. And for Finjuice, I wonder if it's maybe time for them to go their separate ways for a while. And, you know, particularly, you know, young Mr. Finley, let's see him start to chase some potential. You know, Never Division, that kind of thing. I could see him making some moves.
This match reminded me a little bit, I don't know if you'll agree, of the recent FTR Young Bucks match, in the sense that they were busting out all of the classic tag team maneuvers.
Yeah. It's a real nice touch, that, isn't it? Yeah, I enjoyed that a lot as well.
Very different matches, but just, you know, it was interesting that we've had tag team matches that are focused on using a lot of old school double team maneuvers from great tag teams of the past.
Yep, absolutely. And so they go on, I believe, to face Dangerous Techers.
Yep, that's right.
At Wrestle Kingdom. So that'll be interesting. Two heel teams. You don't know what's going to happen in between now and then, albeit there's not actually that much time before Wrestle Kingdom now.
No, but there's only three more shows. There's three Road to Tokyo Dome cards between now and January 4th.
So do you think they go ahead with a heel versus heel match, or do they find a way to squirrel a third team in or something to that effect?
Yeah, you could see the crowd getting behind one of the teams quite easily. Mm. Like, it wouldn't take much for either of them. They're both dickheads that you love to hate, both teams, I think.
Yeah,
so
for sure.
It'd be very easy to manipulate an audience just a little bit to get behind one team or the other, I think, if that you want to go that route rather than having it be pure heel.
Yeah, I mean, Suzuki-Gun are de facto faces now anyway, aren't they? They've just all been awesome this year, so, you know, well, at least that's how I see it anyway. Okay, main event time. Best of the Super Juniors final. Ticking time bomb Hiromu Takahashi against another Suzuki-Gun member, El Desperado. A 30-minute match. Absolute belter, and definitely in the conversation of match of the year, right?
Oh, absolutely, yeah. I do think when we have our conversation in a couple of weeks' time about best matches of the year, I think this will be featured without a doubt.
I would say so, yeah, definitely.
It felt like a real coming out party for Desperado, who I think has kind of been a really reliable hand and has kind of bubbled under, but has maybe never, whilst I've watched New Japan anyway, certainly, has never really been given the ball to run with as a big-time singles junior competitor.
Yeah, and he was fantastic here. I mean, I must admit, I do like Hiromu, and I've always enjoyed Hiromu, but I wouldn't say that his character really grabs me as much as it seems to other people. But with Despy, there's something about him. Again, it's there's a coolness to El Desperado, which I think draws me in. And it was on display here. You know, the whole, let's just get to the crux of the match here. It gets very personal and very heated, and Hiromu starts clawing away at El Desperado's mask, basically just rips half of it off, and in the end, Desperado just pulls the whole thing off, doesn't give a damn, and wrestles the rest of the match with his mask off. Even at the end of the match, when they were trying to cover his face, he wasn't into it. It's so different from any other masked wrestler that you'll see, you know, in the Lucha Libre culture, that would be unthinkable. But, and it has happened before, actually, in a match, somebody pulled his mask off expecting him to sort of cover his face, and he just sort of shrugged and punched them and then put it back on. There's just something effortlessly cool about Despy. And yeah, as soon as that happened, this match kicked into an unbelievable gear. High doesn't do it justice, I don't think, and it just didn't stop from there.
This is one to seek out, even if you're not necessarily a regular follower of New Japan, I would say.
Yeah, 100%.
That was top-notch, and I thought capped off a really fun card. I think without this as the kind of cherry on top, the show as a whole was fun, but not super memorable.
Mm-hmm.
But I think with this, it's going to be one of those cards that you've fondly recall. I think you go, oh man, do you remember, you know, Best of Super Junior and World Tag League Final last year, you know?
Yeah, and that's the, you know, that's the, I don't think it's often that people say that about World Tag League as well. I think it's kind of worked it running concurrently with Best of Super Juniors, albeit I don't know that it will next year.
Well, the one thing to consider about next year is, all things being equal, the Olympics should be still running in Japan.
Mm.
So originally this year, a lot of the New Japan calendar was very up in the air.
Right.
And so if things get back to normal, as we'll hope they will, and the Olympics goes ahead in the summer, then, you know, who knows where things will get shunted around to. We could end up going down the same path again.
Yeah.
You know, I think especially as it's been, you know, roundly agreed that it works really well. Same with the G1 and doing away with the tag matches. Yeah. I think people enjoyed the shorter cards.
Yep. No, agreed. And of course, if the Olympics do in fact happen, then we have another exciting Taguchi gimmick to look forward to, you know. What will he do this time? He's the man. I love Gooch. Shall we go on to the Super J Cup? So the Best of Super Juniors sister tournament, if you like, over in the States.
Absolutely, yeah. Let's head on back to the States.
Yeah, so a good lineup for this one. So I'm just going to kind of go for this right off the bat. For me, throughout this, there's some good wrestling on display, and I think the tournament setting really helped, but I still have a massive problem with the aesthetic of this show. There's something about it that just doesn't pull you in. I'm not quite sure what it is.
Yeah, I would agree. I do think, for me, it seemed better than last time we stepped inside the New Japan USA sort of center here.
However, I'm not the type of guy that wants to make a criticism without offering an alternative suggestion. So I thought I'd run mine by you and see what you thought. I think the way they make this better, and it's quite simple, is that they just turn on the lights. And if it does in fact look like a dojo, you know, the way I can imagine it is you've got this ring in the middle, and then you've got, you know, the punch bags, and you've got the weight training equipment, you've got different things all around the sort of outside, and you have guys there doing stuff. So, you know, bring in some extras or what have you, or just use other trainees and have people kind of half watching, half doing stuff whilst the matches are going on. So it feels like more like a fight camp kind of feel, you know. So if you were inside, say, American Top Team or something like that, you'd have other guys practicing whilst the two kind of people with a fight coming up were competing in the cage and sparring in the cage. I think that would create a really different feel for this show. Different to anything else that's out there. And also, it would be something that would attract the eye a lot more. What do you reckon?
The way you've pitched it, it doesn't grab me. It might look great, but yeah, the way I'm kind of picturing it, it just kind of, I think, is, yeah, distracting and would maybe make the action going on seem unimportant.
Yeah, maybe. I don't know. I think there could be something there, but just, even if you don't have people doing stuff, just show that it's a dojo, lean into that a little bit more, rather than, it goes back to the stuff that Balianaki was saying about what they're doing with Choco Pro. Why pretend that everything is normal? It's not normal. You know, if you're having to put shows on in the LA Dojo, you wouldn't normally do that. So let's lean into the fact that it's the LA Dojo rather than trying to dress it up as like a mini arena.
No, I don't think you're wrong. Like, I think there's kind of a middle ground, maybe.
Hmm.
Certainly, yeah, certainly a better way of doing it than necessarily how they've got it. But yeah, as a overall card, I thought the tournament matches were all good fun. Again, I think obviously just because it's coming off the all in sort of less than 24 hours, you've got this coming off the back of the Best of Super Juniors final. It's hard not to kind of compare the action to like how good that was, and it kind of obviously comes off unfavorably.
Yeah.
But it was a different kettle of fish, kind of comparing apples to oranges. But you do think, like, no, the action was good, but none of it was as good as that the match last night.
Yeah, and that's unfortunate, but I suppose it's unavoidable to an extent. I do think this one, in terms of how people will look back on it, perhaps suffered from results rather than in-ring product to an extent. I think when the lineup was announced, people were quite excited about the likes of ACH, Chris Bay, Leo Rush being involved. And, you know, let's talk about Leo for a second. To have somebody of that level on the card go out in the first round, like, I'm all for a shock deposit, but it just seemed a real shame. You know, he's somebody that probably should have gone further. And I think a lot of people would have just liked to see somebody from the outside win it. I mean,
yeah.
I've got no real issue with El Fantasmo winning it, apart from the fact that I have a real issue with El Fantasmo winning it, but we'll get on to that in a minute.
Why is that, Liam?
Oh, okay, fine. You bait me, so I'll say it. Okay, folks, just settle down for a second. If you're near the kettle or the sink, grab yourself a glass of water or a cup of tea, whatever. Just chill out for a minute. I'm just going to talk about this guy. All right, let's set the scene. Gareth and I were in Bristol over here in the UK. We're seeing a Revolution Pro show, and there's a tag team match, of which El Fantasmo is a part of. And this match is going great guns, and then all of a sudden it goes crazy and spills to the outside, and they fight through the crowd, and the crowd follows the action like a shoal of fish following a mako shark. And prior to this going down, this venue only sold Red Bull as a soft drink option. Now, if anybody's ever had Red Bull, for one, you don't ever drink it as a choice. You know, you drink it if you have something you need to do at a point where you're really tired. If you've got some homework to get in, or you've got to get up for work earlier, you've been watching a pay-per-view. Nobody wants to drink Red Bull, certainly not at a social occasion. So anyway, I've got my can of Red Bull and we're sat watching this match. And then, as I say, everything goes crazy. So I leave the can of Red Bull and follow the action like a good little fan. And then we're watching the show and there's three of the four guys all wrestling on one side of the arena. And I think to myself, where's El Fantasmo? He's not wrestling in front of me. And I turn back and I look at my empty seat and my now empty can of Red Bull and a smug look on this guy's face as he has stolen the drink that I didn't want without any care in the world. And what does he do? Just chucks the can on the floor and he walks off. The guy's a goddamn thief. I'm amazed he's let into Japan, and I have not forgotten about it, and I'm waiting for an apology. The end.
Outrageous. So yeah, a very easy man for you to boo.
I'm actually livid right now. I can't even continue. I didn't realize how cross about that I still was. It was overpriced really? As well. Anyway, but hey, no issues with LP winning in terms of in-ring. Look, the guy is great. I've always preferred him more as a babyface than a heel, to be truthful, but no issues with that. But it just felt a bit like people, myself included, wanted something fresh from this tournament, particularly as we would later find out, the winner would then go on to challenge the winner of the Best of the Super Junior.
Well, with that, where they had Hiromu say that the previous night, for me it kind of telegraphed, because I was like, well, probably somebody that's signed to the roster that they're gonna actually bring out and have them quarantine in Japan for Wrestle Kingdom.
Yeah, no, I don't disagree.
It did make me think, oh yeah, it's probably going to be ALP then. The other slight inconsistency here is you have El Fantasmo on the card. He talks about, oh, I watched the show last night, I heard what you said, Hiromu, oh, yeah, I'm coming. And then, but you've got Kenta appearing on both shows.
Yeah, Kenta did appear on both shows. What the hell was that all about? That's crazy.
So yeah, if you're going to run that, you maybe need to have cut that tag match.
Yeah, that's so true. That's so true.
So that bothered me a little bit. You know, like, it's not the end of the world. It doesn't make a big difference. This, I appreciate that this show was pre-recorded.
But
you know,
would have
recorded
it
a couple of weeks ago.
Yeah.
But you know, if you know you're going to have, you've got the time to do it, why not just kind of cut that match?
Yeah. No, I don't disagree. Anyway, I think it was a decent enough tournament. I would give a special shout out to the finals, which was El Fantasmo versus ACH. I thought that was a really good match.
Yeah, I thought ACH made a really good show of himself here.
Mate, he has been since he's come back from the E. I think he's been doing great. And
he's been here, GCW.
Yep, and MLW as well.
Really making a case for himself as being sort of one of the top guys on the indies right now.
Yeah, but my fear is that he is going to follow in the same sort of pattern as EC3 and before him, Tennille Dashwood. In a sense that he's a freelancer that seems to go everywhere, but as a result doesn't necessarily get the booking behind him because people want to book their signed guys in the strong spots. And, you know, I don't want to see ACH losing too often. I want to see this guy, he feels like a big deal to me, so I would like to see him pushed hard in a promotion. So hopefully he can, you know, get settled somewhere sooner rather than later and start to get a bit more momentum. But, you know, in terms of in-ring, hey, you can't fault the guy. He's doing great stuff.
Definitely, yeah. Right, so I think that's about all there is to say about Super J Cup for now. Let's
apart from I haven't forgotten Fantasmo. I haven't forgotten.
He never will. He's got a very long memory, let me assure you, ELP. So let's head down to Mexico for AAA's Triple Mania.
Ah, this was a fun show.
I stayed up and watched this one live. Mm. And had a great time to the point where I got sort of one match in and was like, holy shit, this is so much fun. And I started sharing the link to some pals in the States and was like, if you're up, watch this.
Oh, did they watch it?
Yeah. Oh, wow. They really enjoyed it as well.
Good man, spreading the word.
Shout out to Crystal.
Hey.
In New Orleans watching AAA.
Shout out, yeah.
Yeah, and yeah, this is a really good card.
Is this your first time watching AAA?
Yes, my first time watching AAA. And I just really liked how there was something for everybody.
Yes, yeah.
It's very much, you know, you hear the three-ring circus philosophy to wrestling where, you know, if you don't like the clowns, you'll enjoy the trapeze. If you don't like the trapeze, you'll enjoy the lions, yeah. You know.
That's such it's a much better way of putting it than the whole flavors of ice cream thing. It just sounds far more grown up. But yes, yeah, sorry, continue.
Yeah, so I really found that was the case here. You know, there was a little bit of everything. You know, you had some really like high-end, high work rate stuff in the Kenny Omega and Laredo Kid match. Yep. You know, you had a wild hardcore brawl in the main event, Pagano and Chessman. Mm-hmm. You had some real fun / silly tag team action with the Marvel match.
Yeah, that was fun. Hey, and let's not forget, you had a hand puppet, because I'm assuming this is the first time you've seen Mr. Iguana.
Yes, absolutely.
Isn't he great? Like, imagine wrestling with a hand puppet. Okay, so for those that haven't seen Mr. Iguana, he looks a bit like, who was the chap that used to present the Crystal Maze back in the day?
Richard O'Brien,
with cool face paint and green gear, but he carries a hand puppet iguana, which remains with him and interacts with the wrestlers throughout the match. And often, the nasty wrestlers beat up the iguana. So if you're somebody that struggles with that sort of thing, don't watch Mr. Iguana's matches. But more often than not, he comes out on top. And yeah, he's a lot of fun. I really enjoy his work.
So yeah, that was just like a really wild opening contest as well. Like really kind of set the tone for the evening.
Yeah, for sure. What did you make of Kenny versus Laredo Kid?
Such a good match.
Another one.
I can understand why Laredo Kid is so highly lauded.
Oh,
I think.
Yeah. Matter of time. I'm amazed he's not already kind of a similar caliber, or at least on his way up there to the likes of Penta and Phoenix.
Yeah.
He's definitely in that standing for sure.
AEW would be smart to get him on board.
Yeah, agreed. 100%.
But yeah, I really enjoyed that match. That's probably, in terms of like singles matches, that's probably been my favourite Kenny singles match of 2020.
Yeah, it was very good, wasn't it?
I've seen people suggesting that's maybe his best singles match since he left New Japan.
Well, I don't know, the Pac Iron Man match was very good, wasn't it? But it was certainly a really good match. And we do a little thing on ITRWrestling.com called Fave 5, where there's, as you might guess, five of us. And we pick our favourite match of the week. And I'm one of the five. And this one and the Despy Hiromu match are currently in a Greco-Roman knuckle lock, battling out against one another because they're both superlative contests. So yeah, spoiled for choice this week.
It's almost a coin flip, I think, between those two for me.
Yeah, great stuff. Really great stuff. And then the main event. I really wanted to talk to you about this because although I have watched a bit of AAA, somebody that I wasn't familiar with before, but I really like and I'm going to follow now, is Pagano. And I wondered if you felt the same, because he really captured my attention.
Yeah, he was really interesting. So the thing about this match that I found so interesting is that I don't think either of these two would necessarily be popular or like big outside of Mexico. Mm. Like, I don't think they maybe translate, but I completely see the appeal. They're big dudes going hard, not necessarily high work rate, but having a hell of a match. They've got interesting gimmicks and just kicked the ever-loving crap out of one another.
Yeah, with a little bit of lucha finesse chucked in as well, which I always found quite interesting, particularly on Pagano's side. You know, they'd have a nice brawling sequence and he'd end up with some sort of flipping maneuver that all of a sudden you're like, oh, okay, so this guy can do a few bits and bobs as well. So yeah, I really enjoyed this. I thought this was a wild brawl. And the longer it went, the wilder it got, perhaps to the point of being slightly disjointed. But it was still a lot of fun.
It lost me very briefly with some of the... there was like two table spots, one after another. And that didn't really work for me. Say you excise, just like cut out that little section of the match, then I'd be like, Jesus, that was, you know, like a great 20-minute brawl.
Yeah.
They really won me over.
So for anybody that hasn't seen these guys, so Pagano has got sort of like a Joker clown kind of thing going on.
Mm-hmm.
And that's actually quite prevalent in AAA. So I suppose the ace of AAA, I think, is considered to be Psycho Clown. And there are other clowns as well.
So many clowns.
There's Murder Clown, Dave the Clown.
If you have a phobia of clowns, probably don't watch AAA.
Or watch it and get over it. This would really help.
Exposure therapy.
Yeah, no, don't watch it. Don't watch it. So yeah, that's Pagano. And then Chessman, I'm not sure where the gimmick comes from, but...
He's just a really big fan of the Queen's Gambit.
Okay, perfect. And he's... the Queen's back Gambit and NWO Wolfpack Sting. Because his face paint is not dissimilar. In fact, when he started bleeding, you really couldn't tell where the blood started and the face paint ended. It was, it was a funny thing. But two big bad dudes having a slightly Lucha-inspired hardcore mashup. And at one point, you know, long-time WWE fans will be familiar with Hugo Savanovich, who is the iconic Spanish announcer, really. And he's commentating on this one and occasionally dipping into English, which I've found, I have the utmost admiration for people that are bilingual and able to flip between languages like that. I just think that's incredibly impressive. And he did a really good job of it.
Yeah, it was so helpful. Just like just convey like the really important points, just so you got who was who and what was what.
Yes, because I think above all other genres of wrestling, lucha requires decoding. And, you know, so it was good to have somebody at least give you a little pointer in the right direction. But anyway, poor Hugo got absolutely smashed with a guitar to the head. And I couldn't for the life of me tell you why, because he wasn't there to explain it. He's just on the floor.
Just crying out in pain.
I was thinking, the exposition we need right now is currently bleeding on the floor.
Yeah. I did really like his very snazzy jacket.
Me too, and his haircut. Yeah, he looked great.
With my very limited amount of Spanish, one other thing from this match that I enjoyed is after they powerbombed Chessman and his buddies, powerbombed Lady Shanae,
yeah.
Hugo, I think it was Hugo anyway, called them dogs.
Oh, what, Piero?
Yeah.
Yeah. It was funny because at peak lockdown, I'd got on Duolingo and I was refreshing my Spanish and, you know, admittedly I've fallen off of it a little bit over the last couple of months, but watching this, you know, you hear the odd word and you're like, oh, I remember this.
And it's nice, isn't it?
It is nice, yeah. I'm going to get back on.
I need to as well. Right, we're going to have to add each other on Duolingo and compete now.
Yeah, we're going to
do... Most days in a row.
We're going to do Spanish and Japanese. Hey, Duolingo, if you're looking for a podcast to sponsor, hey!
We're your boys!
Anyway, so this one finished with a crazy spot.
So a lot of the big matches from this show are still available to watch on Facebook. So if you find the AAA Facebook page, you can watch, I think, the main event, the Kenny Omega match and the Marvel tag match.
Yep, absolutely.
So well worth going out of your way to just, because those are probably like the three best matches on the show, arguably. Go out your way. It's about 90 minutes to see those three, and yeah. I think you'll really enjoy it.
Yeah, whatever, not, it's free, go fill your boots and let us know what you think.
One small note before we move, it was really interesting, all these shows as well as Impact's Final Resolution all taking place, you know, either on the Saturday night or over a span of 24-hour period last weekend. You had three people appearing on multiple shows, like Point Double Duty.
That's true.
Which I thought was really interesting. So you had Chris Bay, obviously, appearing in the main event of Final Resolution and competing on the Super J Cup. Mm-hmm. You had Leo Rush competing as...
Arachno
in the Marvel Tag Team match and obviously in the Super J Cup. And then we also had...
TJP
popping up in Impact and Super J Cup as well.
Was he in Impact as Manic as opposed to TJP, or was he TJP as well? Because what would have been really impressive is if he'd been TJP in the Super J Cup, TJP in Impact, and also Manic.
And done it all.
That would have won me over.
So yeah.
Good stuff, man. Good stuff. All right. So interview section up next. We move.
And we're back. So up next, we've got Liam talking to PCO in an interview recorded earlier today. Unfortunately, due to scheduling issues, I wasn't able to make it. So take it away, Liam.
Thank you very much indeed, future Gareth. We are indeed back, and I am joined by a legend in the wrestling game. If you watch WWF in the 90s, you know this man. And if you watch Ring of Honor right now, you know this man. Longevity is essentially his middle name, albeit it's not in the acronym. I'm with PCO, the man who is not human indeed. Welcome, sir. Thank you very much for joining us.
Hi, Liam. How are you?
I'm really good. Really good, thank you. How are you doing?
Yeah. I'm great. Fantastic. Just coming back from some tapings and ready for final battle.
Indeed.
So, yeah. So everything looks good.
Am I right in thinking you're currently within the Ring of Honor bubble?
Yeah, we're sort of out of the bubble. It was last week in the bubble. So I just came back.
How was that process? Was it a bit strange?
It's not the first time, so we're getting used to it. That was my second time, and I think it was because the Canadian citizen couldn't go to the U.S. A little bit like the UK citizens or Australian citizen or many other countries aren't allowed in the U.S. right now. But now that I can go, it's been that was my second tour under the CDC guideline, which is like the USA medical safe medical procedure for any event. And so we're following that because we have the it's under the supervision of the athletic commissions.
Right.
So they, it's like police, you know, watching us all over the place. If we have our, if we wear the mask, if we do everything that we're keeping our distance and things like that. So, because it's a very expensive show to produce without fans.
I'm sure.
And also if like a few people test positive, it's going to jeopardize the future of those shows.
Yeah.
So the Baltimore Ravens, which is the NFL teams, had like tons of cases. And so that was in Baltimore. And so everybody there from the Athletic Commission of Baltimore, they were like so afraid that something like that would happen with wrestling and that would jeopardize all the next tours coming up, because I think we're gonna do them regularly, like once or twice a month. So
right, okay,
2021. So we're riding it. We're in a process where you have a certain time for your match because you have to change the mat and wipe up the ropes and disinfect everything. So it's a total new process as a wrestlers to know that at a certain time your match will start right on time. It's not it doesn't play off of the other matches a little bit, you know, like sometimes the match are a little bit longer, they go a little shorter, or certain things happen, so you never know when you're gonna perform. Now, like, we know exactly at what time we're gonna perform. So because it starts like let's say at 8 a.m. in the morning and all the way through 6-7 p.m. So it's just a different total different environment. But it's kind of cool, but the bad side of it, it's, you know, performing that hard, like it was sold out, but there's nobody there.
Yeah.
So that's the little catch over there.
Is it, have you ever wrestled in this, in sort of a no fans environment before, or is this the first for you?
Yeah, that's the first. I mean, as far as match, really tape for TV content that's going to air on pay-per-views and things like that, that's the first.
Wow.
I mean, I've had matches, you know, in front of bookers or executives to see how things are evolving or developing or things like that, but to really go there and perform for a pay-per-view or for a TV audience, it's the first.
Wow. Gosh. Okay. And correct me if I'm wrong, I gather you've been sort of unable to wrestle now, well, was it close to 10 months during the pandemic,
the time off?
Yeah.
We were supposed to do the anniversary show in Las Vegas on April 14th or 15th. So April, that got canceled. May canceled. June, July, I think we started back in August. So that wasn't 10 months. Maybe for me, it was, I missed the August one. September was off, and I did the October one, the December one, but from starting in 2021. Now that the bubble is, you get there, you have a room assigned, you can't get out until it's your, no, before that, back home, you get a test, a COVID test, that you do it on Zoom with a doctor.
Right.
And you send it. If you're negative, then you can fly. And then you fly to the States, and then you get to your hotel. Then you stay there for a full day until the next morning, and then the next morning you got another COVID test, and you can't get out of your room unless it's a negative test again.
Gosh, wow. Okay.
If you're positive, they send you home. If it's positive before you leave your house, then you stay home.
So, gosh.
I know, like, at one point, like, three or four of our guys went on the indie scenes. And it was a lot of positive case out of that indie show.
Mm.
And the guys that were supposed to wrestle with us, was, even if they tested negative, they were sent back home. That just in case they might have been asymptomatic or something like that. So there's no, they don't take any chances whatsoever. It's very,
well, that's
very,
good.
Very strict, very strict. And it's very healthy, and they don't want to jeopardize the operation of the company. They don't want to jeopardize no one's health either.
Mm.
So because you got guys that they're there, but they're not easy to be there during the pandemic, you know.
Yeah.
For me, I'm not human. I don't care. I'll go, you know, I'm precautious, you know, I follow the rules, but it's not something that scares me.
Sure.
But at least I'm thinking for others, you know.
Yeah, no, fair enough.
I don't want to jeopardize others' health.
No, good for you. I think that's the way to go. How was it getting back in the ring after quite a lot of time off? Must have been quite challenging.
Yes, but the thing is that as professional, and because we're getting paid by Ring of Honor, you know, like we never missed a beat on paychecks and things like that.
Mm.
And I'm under an exclusive contract and a guaranteed contract. And they never tried to say, you know, it's a pandemic, this or that, or trying to work out any situation. So, and they've been sending checks also to people that sometimes come to work with Ring of Honor, but aren't on a exclusive contract or,
wow,
or aren't under a contract, but they are, let's say, on a per night deal.
Gosh.
So they've been sending checks here and there during the pandemic to help out people.
That's amazing.
So it's been pretty cool as a company. Mm. And so, like I was saying, as a professional, I have to make sure that, you know, I do things that I can run, or, you know, even if all the gyms are closed and I'm on a total lockdown in Montreal where nothing nothing is open. There's no Christmas time. There's no New Year's Eve.
Mm.
You're not allowed to go to any parties or anything. I just found people who I can rent a gym in the morning and I could be there by myself, you know.
Right. Okay.
Give some sort of amount of money that reasonable, and then I could go on and at least it's never the same, you know.
Mm-hmm.
There's a mount here that I go and I climb that mount up and down, but you can do climbing a mount as fast as you can and bringing it down as fast as you can. It could be like 2 or 3 kilometers long. You can run, you know, 5 kilometers every day, but there's nothing like that ring cardio. You know,
sure.
Nothing is similar to the cardio. We're trying to emulate. I am trying to emulate represent myself when I do cardio, that it's similar to what I will go to in a ring. Like sometimes you're gonna be in holding your breath because you slam or you suplex someone. Sometimes you climb, sometimes you run, sometimes, you know, it's different type of energy. It's not the same energy like running. It's your same energy all the time, so it's not the same. Or sprinting, it's good for, but this is a lot of variation.
It's very jerky. So
we're trying to adapt the workouts accordingly to this, and to make sure that even if it's 2 months off or 3 months off, you can't really tell.
Right.
Trying to adjust the move on punching bags, and whatever we can to keep the timing.
Yeah, no, fair enough. And I wanted to talk about your longevity, because you know, you've been in the industry for a long time now, and you know, wrestling as I understand it into your 50s, and even winning a world title last year. Had you always planned to be working into your 50s, or is this something that's just caught fire? And
you, if it was planned,
yeah,
not that I planned, but I never really wanted to quit on my dream.
Mm.
So, in order of not quitting on my dream, I needed to adjust to make up that gap, you know, to be able to go through that time. Because it wasn't about money situations or anything like that. It wasn't about like, oh, I'm missing the cheers and I'm missing the roar, the crowd, or it wasn't any of this. It was not, I felt unachieved when, as a youngster, I wrote down my goals in this business, what I wanted to accomplish, where I wanted to go, and how I wanted to impact this business, and how I wanted to be a tool to help out later on, once I'm retired, with a book, what it takes to go up the ladder and have a tremendous success. So if I don't have myself a tremendous success, how can I teach others to have a tremendous success?
Yeah.
So, and then I was at a certain age where I felt like, you know, I failed and failed and failed, and I kept on going. And then a lot of people were thinking that I was totally out of my mind. I was crazy. I quit like really, really good job. I was a commentator for TNA. And the French TV stations. I was there for 3 years. Oh, I left that job, which was a silver platter. Like, it was like money ended on a silver platter easily for an hour a week. And I left that job to go back on the road. And my plan didn't work out right away. And I made sure that I always burn my boats behind me, let's say. You read, often you'll read stories on that when soldiers was going to war and they were going to another island, they would burn their boats. Mm-hmm. So the only way to survive was to win the war. So I kind of applied that principle in my life, and I did that many, many times. You would think that after dying a couple of times on the island, I would learn my lesson, but no, I kept on coming back. And eventually paid off.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And where did the PCO character come from?
Well, when I was doing the, because what happened is with Vince McMahon and the WWE, they wanted me to be Pierre, which was had nothing to do with my real name. My real name is Carl Ouellette. And so every time that we're doing, let's say, a newspaper article, in Montreal or somewhere else, I would always put Pierre and the rest of my name, Pierre Carl Ouellette. Just because I knew once I would be out of WWE, that was their trademark, and I wanted to always shoot my name there. So when I was in WCW, I was just Carl Ouellette. And then eventually when I did that TV commentator job, I started to just go with the three letters PCO. And then I got over with the public, with the fans and the public here in Montreal and Canada and on the French TV, really got over. And then I knew from then on that I would just be called PCO. But the whole French Canadian Frankenstein character came out later in 2018, 2017. But I knew that I would keep the PCO letters because it was catchy and it was over. And I figured, like, if it works on a certain place, it will work all over the place.
Sure.
You know, it was like testing the water a little bit.
Interesting. So in your matches, I mean, certainly on the indie scene and now in Ring of Honor as well, I mean, you absorb a lot of punishment. Yeah. Do you do anything in particular in between matches to help you recover? Or is it just that PCO is not human?
It's just, I don't do nothing to recover.
Wow.
And it's so funny that you asked me that question now, because on the way back from the building to the hotel, like, we're traveling with different vans and the van was full. I think we're 6 or 8 of us in the van. And a lot of the guys, like, how do you defy age? How can you do what you do? And I, the first thing I told them, I said, you never go to a chiropractor. You never go to acupuncture. You never go to a physiotherapist. because that's BS, you know. A physiotherapist will put ice for 15 minutes, they'll put heat for 15 minutes, or they'll put you on muscle with a machine for 15 minutes, and basically you'll have a maybe 10 or 15 minute stretch, you know, so you better do that by yourself at home. But yeah, that's I never been like, maybe I had like one or two massages, but I never liked it. In my entire life, I had maybe two massages, you know, two massages.
Okay.
Never, and I see those guys, like the younger guys, sometimes we have like a trainer, you know, if you have a sprained ankle, a sprained knee, or you're sore on your back, she massages you, tapes you up, and things like that. And I always pride myself, I've never been on one of those tables.
My gosh.
I see guys before matches, after matches, getting treatments. I've never been there.
Wow.
Never
been there. Next level. Next level
talk. But that's just me. And I don't say that to brag about. Maybe I was born with the quality to the quality of being able to absorb a lot of pain without feeling the pain.
Sure.
And also, I have a regimen where I eat mostly vegetables. Mm. I do 80-90%, sometimes 100% of the times, but just once in a while, maybe if I'm stuck or there's nothing else or whatever might occur. I mean, for many years, I haven't had a drink. I haven't gone out in a bar, or I go to bed early when I'm not on the road, or even if I'm on the road, you know, I'm straight into my room. And I get up early, and I impose myself so many disciplines, small disciplines, but, you know, eating an apple a day, eating 4 or 5 bananas a day, doing like some sort of breathing techniques for 20 minutes a day, running minimum 2 kilometers per day, or sometimes if it's nice outside or I feel good, I could go for a 10K, or I've run this year. I've done a 70 kilometers run.
Jeez.
So, and it was tough, and it's always to build, to calister my mind.
Sure.
All those disciplines. I don't know what really I'm talking to you, and I know they bring something to me, but I don't know really exactly what they bring up to me, but I know that it calistered my mind that if something happened, I'm going to be able to deal with, because I'm surpassing what my brain is telling me in a way that when I did that 70 kilometers run and my feet were bleeding and I was losing my toes, and because I was not trained for that, I kept on going just to tell my brain to shut up and let me take over.
Gosh.
So I really want to be in control of the machine. I don't want my mind, because the mind wants out all the time. It's something you start running and it's gonna put some fatigue in your lower back, or maybe a cramp in your in your calves, or why don't you go home? Your mind start playing games on you. Why don't you go home? Why are we doing this? What's the point of doing that?
Especially over lockdown, trying to exercise, you know, when you can't go out, I've found has been very, very difficult to be disciplined at home. It's been really, really
hard. You have to overcome that voice
that
tells you to take it easy, because with years, I think we become used to comfort. And so we have to push boundaries to get out of that comfort zone all the time. And I think that allows me to think outside the box. And the same thing with what I want to accomplish in the business. It's like my mind sometimes is telling myself, who do you think you are to think like that? Or who do you think you are to think that you can achieve this or that? And I just said, just shut up, you know. I just have to shut up my mind, just let my higher self take control of my mind. So it's a big battle. Like we often say that sports is 90% mental and 10% physique, and I get it, because I think for talking with Jim Johnson, the guy who made my song, you know,
oh, wow.
Who created my song. I had many conversations with him, like saying, it's not happening really like in the ring. I mean, your entrance, everything counts. The character counts, but also mentally, how can you handle, like, if it's not going your way, if it looks totally like your career is going down the drain, you have to be able to see that end finished picture. It's never finished, first of all, but you have to be to see the accomplished goal in your mind, to imagine yourself there, and to stay focused on that when everything goes derailed. You have to keep the focus there. And I think most of the wrestlers, they take themselves out of the equation because it doesn't go the way that they plan the things to go. Everybody has his ego and everybody wants things to go their way. And then you have the management and they're making choices. And eventually it doesn't go your way. And you have the tendency to say, well, if it's not, you know, as if it's going to be like that, I'm going to go somewhere else. I'm going to quit. I'm going to do this. And sometimes people quit the wrestling business to go to another business. The same thing happened. This is just the nature of life. So you have to stay focused.
It's mentality.
I had to be really focused to not drop that goal that I had in mind, because I was a few years. At one point, I had tried out so many times with WWE and WCW and every company, and I felt rejected. So I had to, and at that time, I wasn't disciplined as I am now.
Right.
But I had the mentality of not quitting no matter what. But now that I've had so many other disciplines in my daily life and in my calendar and in my weekly routine, my daily routine, I can't see myself not having more success than I've had last year. But last year was a tremendous, brilliant year. The World Six-Man Tag, the ROH World Six-Man Tag Belts, the ROH World Tag Belts, ROH World Heavyweight title, the NWA Tag Belts, and the NWA Crockett Cup.
Quite the year.
And probably one of the greatest entrance ever in ROH history at the Madison Square Garden in front of 21,000 people.
Comfortably.
With the electric chair and the electricity and everything. So that was a lot of success. That's hard to top. But like I said, I've been adding so many disciplines and so many other things into my routines that I don't see how that I cannot break through even more success.
Yeah.
It should. Because maybe the frame of time is not that open, but I do so much that I'm thinking it's impossible that it cannot just be shut down, because it's too much. I'm doing too much.
Right.
I'm putting too much effort and too much hard work into it.
Right.
So I don't know how it's going to happen. It's going to happen organically, but I don't know nothing. You know, I've got maybe 11 months left on my contract with Ring of Honor, and I just go from show to show from now on, but things will evolve during the course of the year and the summer and getting closer to the end of my contract.
Excellent. Okay, let's talk about Ring of Honor for a bit then. So how do you assess the Ring of Honor locker room? What do you make of their roster at the moment?
Pretty tight. Ring of Honor really, to me, is the first time that I have the feeling, I've been in many locker rooms, but I feel the family orientation of this company. But it's also a business. So it's hard to be a family and a business at once, you know?
Yeah, sure.
So it's a little bit of both, you know? Sometimes I might not be happy because things aren't going my way. But I know, let's say, how everybody was good to me last year. So I, you know, if it's not going my way, I cannot really complain, because it's a give and take, sure, you know, process too. And of course, a lot of guys receive more than they take. They take more, whatever, they get more from the business than they, like, they go over more than they do jobs. because when things aren't going like the way we want, it's because we don't have the push that we expect.
Sure.
As a wrestler, basically, that's everybody's life. That's every hockey player's life, and that's every baseball player's life. Everybody wants to be part of the solution. Nobody really wants to have the role of the utility players or replacement or anything like that. You want to be the attraction. You want to be part of the show. And so it's a give and take there a little bit. So it's but there's ways to be business, and there's ways to be family too. You know, like, when it's the end of the year, if you haven't been happy, but you can try to market, and if you're happy, you can try to renegotiate. It depends how it goes.
Yeah.
But at least, you know, you finish what you've started, and you try to make the best out of it, you know, no matter what happens. So I've had like a 1-year contract at first, and then I re-signed for 2 years. And because I was really happy with the way things are going.
Understood. And so going into the big show, well, the big show is actually going out
Friday tomorrow night.
So, and that's when the podcast drops. So I think we'll be airing this a couple of hours before the show itself. You've got a tag team title match where you're teaming with Mark Briscoe, as opposed to Brody King, who you've teamed with in the past. How did the team with Mark come about, and what have you made of him so far?
I think the mix is excellent. It's something I'm very comfortable with, and it's something that I would gladly run for a little while. I really like the Briscoes. I like their talent. I like their the way that they approach the ring, the savvy of the ring, and the... Mark's pretty crazy, and I think we are in ROH history, the both the craziest guys that ever stepped foot in that thing, you know. So to put us together, I think that was I thought that was smart. You know, it was like the perfect package, and people got excited when it was announced, and when I broke through that box, the Christmas box.
That was awesome.
And I think it's a great tag team. We need to maybe if we're going to do this for a longer period of time, we need to have more moves maybe together to be more a unit. Like with Brody, had a great chemistry, and it was a great tag team. Now I think he wants to be solo. So, but I really don't know how things are going to turn out with Brody. I think he's on a good, you know, some things, the things are going well for him right now in a solo career. But for me and Mark, I think we need to do more of a tag team maneuvers, a little bit more. Right now, you have like Mark Briscoe does what Mark Briscoe does, and PCO does what PCO does, and they're both crazy. So, which it works anyways.
Yeah.
But in the meantime, I know that the brothers have been like working together for a long time. So, it's not easy to create another chemistry when you've been teaming up for 15, 16 years with your brother. So,
yeah.
But also, I'm thinking, the timing is good to give them a breather as a tag team, because they've been there for 18 years.
Sure. Yeah.
So, and Jay, you know, was the first ROH World Heavyweight Champion, if I'm not mistaken, or, you know, used to wrestle for the world title at first.
Yes.
And if he wants or if creative things, you know, he's going to go by himself for a while. that, I think that's cool. And I think by the end of, by the mid-year or something like that, I could go and finish strong by myself. Mm. Well, I'm open to pretty much anything. And also, I think it's going to come to a point eventually where I think we haven't tapped on into the potential of PCO yet.
Mm.
I mean, we've seen the craziness in the ring. We've seen the crazy bumps. We've seen like the art and the work of PCO in the ring, but we haven't seen the theatrical entrance. We've seen one, but we haven't seen more than once yet. Mm. So I think there's a lot to be done there. A Rest in Hell match or a super with fans, because I think it would be wasted to do it like with no fans. So yeah. I think we got to wait for the fans to be back. But I think to really optimize the investment on PCO, you have to go all in with his entrance, yeah, and all in with the character. You got to play out the electricity as much as you can.
And so,
my finish should be when I touch the guy, he's electrocuted.
Yeah.
That should be my finish.
I'm in. Yeah, absolutely. And to be fair, you know, what we've seen this year are a lot of cinematic style matches where you do get some sort of special effects involved or what have you. Is that because you're clearly a very creative man? Is that a style of wrestling that interests you to do that sort of match?
Yeah, I'm gonna do some for my series, my movie that I put on Twitter, like two minutes and 20 seconds every week. I put a little bit of the full movie of the PCO Justice.
Hmm.
There's gonna be some matches like that, but I think like in the real like business world where you have a crowd and everything, I really think like once Destro puts the current on the pole, or I touch that pole while the current is coming from the car battery or whatever generates some electricity, then I'm full of electricity and I touch that guy, it should go down and it should be the finish. And I think once I go back to the dressing room, it should be a very special exit where you've never seen a special exit in wrestling history.
That's very
where true. You have like guards with plexiglass and I'm in between plexiglass to make sure I don't electrocute other people on my way back to the dressing room.
We gotta make it
as big as that. Yeah. Yeah,
absolutely.
It's gonna be totally out of the box, totally crazy. Mm. And I feel like people will go crazy, will go nuts, something like that. If it's the effects are well done, and mm-hmm. if it's well done, you know, if we have the budget to do it, I think that's the way to go with this character to put it over the top.
Absolutely.
I think so.
All right. So that is Final Battle. It's on, it's going out tonight. So if you're listening to the podcast shortly after it drops, you still have time to order Final Battle on pay-per-view or join up with Honor Club and watch it streaming live on there. So my thanks to PCO. Thank you so much for joining us. It's been a really interesting conversation. I can't wait for the match.
It's going to be great. Yeah, that'd be a good one.
And if there's no plexiglass, I'll be disappointed. So let's get it going.
I don't think we're there yet, but I make sure that everybody knows it, though.
2021, that's what you want.
Yeah.
You're good.
Thank you so much.
Merci beaucoup. Thank you for this year. Cheers.
Yeah, I appreciate the opportunity. Thanks, bye-bye.
And thank you so much to PCO for joining Liam and having that conversation. How was that for you?
Oh, do you know what? It was an absolute pleasure. What a lovely, lovely man. Gave me a hell of a lot of time, actually. And so there'll be more from PCO going up on itrwrestling.com on the interview section, so do check that out. Really great to talk Ring of Honor and also to understand more about how he looks after himself. You know, this is a guy in his 50s doing incredibly high impact stuff, and he sort of puts it all down to discipline and moving forward. So yeah, a very impressive individual. By the way, if you're looking to follow PCO, I should have said you can check him out. He's on Twitter. It's PCO is not human. Check that out.
No time for news this week. We've had another bumper episode, somewhat accidentally. There's been too much high-level wrestling, and then we got an opportunity too good to pass up in the PCO interview. So we had to deliver on many fronts here. So no news, check ITRwrestling.com and we'll keep you up to date with all the news from Japan and the Indies.
Absolutely. So next week we're going to be talking about Ring of Honor's final battle show, which of course features PCO going for the tag team titles alongside Mark Briscoe against Jay Lethal and Jonathan Gresham. So that should be a good one. And we're also going to be talking about Major League Wrestling's Opera Cup finals. In the meantime, if you want to keep up to date, then do check out itrwrestling.com. As Gareth mentioned, those Japan and everywhere else sections are buzzing with content and information. If you want to hear from us in the meantime, we're on the socials. At Wrestling Pod, that's wrestling without the E, that's on Twitter and Instagram. Hey man, why not send us an email? Let us know what you think. Give us some show recommendations. That's wrestlingpod@gmail.com. So once again, that's wrestlingpod.
Also, if you've got any recommendations for matches we may have missed to feature in our Best of 2020 roundup, let us know.
Great point. On
the socials or on email.
Yeah, we'd love that. Absolutely. You can check out the hard copy magazine at InsideTheRopesMagazine.com. This next issue is actually really interesting because it's got the ITR Top 50, so really intrigued to see how that pans out.
Yeah, we both submitted our picks to that one.
Yeah, indeed.
I still don't know who of my suggestions made it into the final 50.
Same.
Time will tell.
Same.
Touching wood that some of my favourites have made it in.
But I can tell you El Fantasma didn't make it, so screw you for putting him down. I'm only kidding. I just want my Red Bull back. Anyway, last but not least, hey, why not check out the merch? Yes, indeed, there's actually merch for this here podcast. That's so cool. We're at shop.itrwrestling.com. You can get Wrestling Pod t-shirts, mugs, hoodies, and actually great merchandise for all the wonderful podcasts that are on the ITR Podcast Network. So please do check that out. So until next week, we hope you will have a very Merry Christmas indeed. And stay safe, stay happy, and enjoy the grounds.